I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Can you think back to a pivotal moment in your life? The kind of moment after which life is never the same again. A picture comes to mind of one of those fairground rides which swing you suddenly from high in the air to hanging upside down in your seat. Not a ride that I would ever dream of trying, I can tell you. We don't always recognize these life-changing moments when they come along, but afterwards, looking back, we see them. You meet the person with whom you're going to fall in love and marry and spend the rest of your life together. The time when something happens to change your career path, unexpected promotion or redundancy. The birth of your first child, which changes your perspective on life forever. The death of someone you love, and life is never the same again because of the gap this leaves. The point in time when you come to faith in Jesus and make your personal commitment to him. There are all kinds of these life-changing moments. Some of them are really good for us. Others we find hard to bear. All of these moments, good or bad, leave us with fresh challenges to face as we come to terms with the fact that life will never be the same again. How do we react to these moments? Do we try to carry on with life as if nothing has happened? Or do we embrace them positively, dealing with them in faith, trusting God for all the new experiences which we'll inevitably encounter? For instance, there are people who get married and behave as if they're still single. Their lifestyle and priorities don't change one little bit. It's the same with having children. They're not prepared to let children change the way they look at life. And they continue to live as if they had no family responsibilities. They run away from these moments and allow them to make no impact on life whatsoever. On the other hand, we can embrace these moments, trusting that God will be with us and help us to adapt to the new lifestyle. This is easier with the good moments, of course, but God is also with us in the hard, life-changing experiences, and will help us to recognize these moments and deal with them too. In our gospel reading this morning, Mary's life is turned upside down, changed forever by something extraordinary that happened one day in Nazareth. Just a teenage girl, unmarried but engaged to the village carpenter, the angel told her that she would have a son who will be the greatest king Israel ever knew, and will make an impact on the whole world. How was Mary to react? We already know she's afraid. After all, angels don't turn up on your doorstep every day. But then what? Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. She embraces the angel's words, not yet fully understanding what they mean, what the consequences might be. But she knows enough of God to trust him and to be willing to serve him. Life is never going to be the same again for Mary. What is God doing here? The King and Savior of the world is to be born, the most momentous news. But God is turning the world upside down. He's announcing the news to whom? An unmarried young girl in an obscure village in northern Israel. Future kings are born in palaces. They are born to the sons and daughters of kings. They're born in important places to national acclaim and celebration. Think of the births of Princes Charles, William, and George. But the greatest king the world has ever seen is going to be born to Mary of Nazareth, says God. The world is being turned upside down. Mary comes to understand this. In the song, the Magnificat, which comes after our reading, she goes on to sing of the ways in which God is turning the world upside down. She sings, "He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich empty away." In our modern society, we really need to hear these words. We're still obsessed with wealth and accumulating money and possessions. We're fascinated with those in power and their failings. We still think the race belongs to the swift and the battle to the strong, and many strive to be powerful and successful and wealthy. The gospel tells us that these things ultimately are empty, that God's blessing rests on humble, faithful people, people who recognize and admit their sense of need, people who are hungry for grace and can't satisfy that hunger themselves. The Saviour of the world didn't achieve his aim with a great army to defeat other powerful men. He achieved our salvation in his death on a cross. The world is turned upside down. I wonder how much Mary understands of what's going on. She's being promised a son, earlier than she would have wished, perhaps. She's being promised help and strength from the Spirit of God to be in her and around her. Her response is one that demonstrates trust. She trusts God to know what he's about, even if she doesn't understand everything. She demonstrates a sense of obedience that is willing to be the person God wants her to be. She demonstrates a willingness to serve God and to do whatever it is he wants her to do. She was young, poor, female, all characteristics that to the people of her day would make her seem unusable by God for any major task. But God chose her for one of the most important acts of obedience he has ever demanded of anyone. God's ways are not our ways. We don't know why he chose Mary, but he does continue to use the strangest people, those who would seem to us to be entirely unsuitable. He speaks the most surprising messages to them and asks them to do the most unexpected things. I'm sure we all have a story about how God has used even us in the past, enabling us to do things which we never thought possible. At first, we, like Mary, tend to respond by being perplexed, overwhelmed, or even afraid. We're creatures of habit, aren't we? Our ordered lives give us a sense of control and self-worth. We don't really want to break out of our comfort zones, but God's ways are not our ways, and he has special plans for each one of us. We've seen that he picks the most unlikely people to carry out important tasks. Think back to David. Remember all the handsome brothers lined up to be chosen as the next king. But God had instructed Samuel not to choose any of them, but rather a little lad who was out minding the sheep. And who were the people Jesus called to be his disciples? Fishermen, tax collectors, a zealot, a thief. No one here with any credentials for the job. Does God still do that kind of thing today? Would God consider you or me a vehicle for Jesus to come into the world right now? Is it possible that God would come to one of us, like he did to Joseph and Mary, and ask us to do something that would be considered completely crazy? We could offer loads of reasons why this would be a silly idea. Too old, too young, too busy. Why me? He's heard all these excuses before. Actually, he does choose people like us, not because we're the best choice he can think of, not because we impress him in any particular way. If we think we're just ordinary, then maybe that's exactly why he chooses us, because God can do the extraordinary through the ordinary. We can be the ones to bring Jesus into people's lives. He does choose us to be a vehicle for Jesus to come into all our relationships, our work, our families, our friends, our activities, our thinking, our speaking, and our doing. How wonderful! Through us, Jesus can come into people's lives in this modern 21st century. He doesn't expect us to make a big splash, be an instant success, an overnight wonder. Jesus wasn't. He was a baby, helpless and reliant on others. He grew up as a nobody in Nazareth, the son of a humble carpenter. We know very little of his early life, but as he grew, he began to preach and teach and show God to people. As he reached out his hand and accepted and healed and forgave, bit by bit, he began to make a difference. And we can do the same. Gently, lovingly, we can lead people to Jesus. Jesus said that we would be able to do what he did, and even greater things. We may not have all the answers and all the skills at the moment, but for some unknown reason, God has chosen us to bring Jesus into this world. We mustn't wait to see the bottom line before offering our lives to God. Mary couldn't fathom her part, but the angel reassured her, and she said yes. There's nothing that God cannot do. He wants us to experience for ourselves that in every situation, he is truly our Emmanuel, God with us, as we bear the good news that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Saviour. Mary's life was turned upside down in a moment. She would never be the same again. The story would give her a unique place in history, her name known forever as Blessed. She would experience joy at the birth of her son and Saviour, a life-changing moment for her and for us. What impact does Jesus make on us? God is turning the world upside down in the greatest story ever told. Does that story change us? Does it change the way we look at life? Does it change our priorities? Will we try to live our lives as if this pivotal moment never happened? The real Jesus can be hidden underneath all the trappings of this season of the year. Yet the gospel should turn us upside down. Jesus should turn us upside down. We should never be the same again, having embraced Jesus by faith. The challenge of the gospel of Christian faith is that we embrace not only Jesus himself, but the values of his kingship, to live by faith, trusting God rather than wanting to be in total control of our life, to be obedient to God, to serve God in the way that we live, in the kind of people that we are, as loving and generous and gracious people. These are the qualities of life that God blesses. Does the story have this impact on us today? Amen.